Success in a new country can be sweet. Just ask Amrik Singh Gadwar. The young salesman has a senior business partner showing him the ropes. He has a good family. He has a beautiful wife. He has a lot to be thankful for. Tonight, he'll take a special pill, just so his wife will have something to be thankful for as well. But tonight's the night all the young immigrants' dreams will end. In true crime, investigation and conviction may take years. But every detective knows that the crucial clue is always there, somewhere in the first 72 hours. Hamilton, Ontario is home to many new Canadians. One of them, Amrik Singh Gadwar, has just turned up dead. The coroner rules he died of unexplained natural causes. 1 month after Amrik's death, his business partner, Sukhwinder Singh Dhillon, files an insurance claim on Amrik's life. Insurance claims agent Clifton Elliott is assigned to the case. When he arrives at the business partner's house, Elliott has a sense of deja vu.
I just glanced over as I was parking and noticed there was two statues at the bottom of the steps leading up to the door. And I suddenly had a feeling I'd been there before. I rang the doorbell and Mr. Dhillon came to the door. I didn't recognize who he was immediately, but I knew I'd seen him before.
Dhillon tells Elliott he and Amrik had life insurance policies on each other because they were in business together. They sold used cars from the driveway of Dhillon's house. Normally, the payment of this kind of claim is straightforward, but not this time.
The fact that I'd seen Mr. Dhillon before and I'd been to the residence bothered me to the extent I thought, no, I'm going back to the office. I checked the files under the deceased name, but there was nothing. So I checked them under Dhillon and I pulled a file on a Mrs. Dhillon.
18 months earlier, Dhillon's wife had gone into convulsions and died. The coroner ruled she died of unexplained natural causes. Dhillon collected over $200,000 in insurance.
It was too much of a coincidence for two people to die under the same circumstances without there being an explanation.
Elliott turns over the information to Dr. Chitra Rao, his contact at Hamilton General Hospital's pathology department. She decides to run some tests.
When I was in medical school in India, I've seen lots of these cases.
Being victims of Indian origin, first thing came to my mind was, could it be chloroform, could it be arsenic, could it be strychnine? All you need is 5 milligrams of strychnine to get toxic effect. And within 5 to 10 minutes, the patients will go into spasm and convulsions. They die of respiratory and then cardiac arrest.
3 days later, the lab results are ready.
I got a call from the toxicologist and say, hey, what you guessed was right. He does have strychnine in his bloodstream.
The presence of poison in Amrik's bloodstream means Hamilton police now have a murder case on their hands. Detective Warren Coral is assigned to investigate the death of Dhillon's business partner, Amrik Singh Gadwar. Coral is also interested in the death of Dhillon's wife.
I'd learned that these two people who had died really had no medical history that should cause them to die the way that they did. It was suspicious.
Coral orders toxicology tests on the remains of Dylan's wife. No strychnine is found. The cause of her death remains a mystery.
Thank you.
Coral decides to focus on the murder of Amrik Singh Gadwar. Coral and his partner, Kevin Dinsa, pay a visit to Amrik's family and his widow, Jasminder. They need to find out more about Amrik's relationship with his business partner. Police learned Dylan and Amrik were very close. Even though Dylan wasn't a blood relative, Amrik called him uncle. Police also learned Dylan has promised Amrik's family the entire $100,000 insurance settlement. Clearly, any suspicions Dylan stood to benefit personally from Amrik's death are unfounded. Police ask family friends what happened the night Amrik died.
We had learned that the victim had sold a vehicle on that day. They bought some alcohol and they were sort of celebrating this sale.
At one point during the evening, Amrik complained of back pain.
We had learned that there was some discussion about him taking some sort of a pill that his grandmother had actually given him at that time. He showered, he shaved, and then he went to bed with his wife. Him and his wife actually had sexual intercourse prior to him attempting to go to sleep. It was at that time that he went into convulsions that are specific to strychnine poisoning.
Jasminder cried out for help. Amrik's family came running. Amrik died within hours. Police are told Jasminder and Amrik had a stormy marriage. Jasminder had threatened to leave with their son a number of times.
The victim didn't treat her very well. His family did not treat her very well. We had learned that, in fact, she was an abused woman in that household.
The detectives know poisoning is an intimate crime. You have to be close to someone to poison him.
Who was the last person with this individual? It was obviously the wife. She was the last person with the victim.
So we had three people that we had to take a step back and take a look at to see who, in fact, may have had the motive to murder this victim.
Was it the wife with the troubled relationship? The grandmother who had given Amrik the pill? Or the business partner who was holding an insurance policy on his life? Coral and Dinsa believe family members know the answer, but they're not telling. A young man named Amrik Singh Gadwar has been murdered. Hamilton police have three suspects: his business partner, his grandmother, and his wife. Amrik's business partner, Sukhwinder Singh Dhillon, stood to make $100,000 on the insurance, but he has since promised that money to the victim's family. Amrik's grandmother reportedly gave Amrik a pill just before he died. She now stands to get a share of the insurance money. Amrik's wife, Jasminder, had many grievances against her husband and his family. A family friend tells police, at the visitation after Amrik's death, she witnessed an argument between Jasminder and Dylan. For an Indian woman, especially a daughter-in-law living under her in-law's roof, to be so outspoken is virtually unheard of. Amrik's grandmother soon ended the argument.
Thank you.
But Jasminder's behavior is very different around the police.
She was very submissive, always looked down, wouldn't make eye contact, which is not suspicious itself, but too submissive.
Jasminder seems anxious to avoid any contact with the police. When police press the family for more information, none is forthcoming. Police decide polygraph tests are in order for all three suspects. First up is Amrik's wife, Jasminder. When asked, "Did you poison your husband?" she answers, "No." But when asked if she knows who did, her answers become vague.
She looked as if she had something to say, but she wasn't going to share it with us.
Dinsa believes Jasminder is probably not the killer, but he thinks she knows who is. Amrik's grandmother doesn't understand how the polygraph works. Police decide to question her instead. She, too, is vague and evasive. Police come away thinking she has something to hide. Amrik's business partner, Dylan, refuses to answer any more questions halfway through the test. He knows police can't force him to take a polygraph. Amrik's family is becoming impatient. They want to know when they can collect the insurance money. The police are happy to provide an answer when Dylan agrees to a polygraph test.
And we confronted him in a manner in front of the family, and the family says, "Well, you can take him right now." And of course, Dylan knew that to keep face with the family, he had to take a polygraph.
When asked if he was involved in Amrik's death, Dylan denies knowing anything.
And he failed the polygraph.
But failing a polygraph is not proof of guilt. The detectives decide to press harder.
We interviewed this individual for 13 hours. Keeps telling me that he hasn't done anything wrong, he's not responsible for it. We tell him that he's still lying to us.
Coral obtains a warrant to search Dylan's house.
We were going to vacuum every inch of that house and then take a look inside of that vacuum bag to see whether, in fact, there was strychnine in it.
Police find no evidence of strychnine in the house, but they do find something else.
We actually found videotapes of other wives that he had married in India after his own wife's death.
Dylan remarried three times in quick succession. Police learn all three wives died under suspicious circumstances.
After we learned about these things, we realized that investigatively, there was a lot of similar fact evidence that could be gleaned from traveling to India and doing our own investigation over there.
We traveled to different parts of northern Punjab, basically tracing Dylan's movements.
What police learn in India shocks them. Dylan married one woman who bore him twins who died while in his care. While still married to her, he took a second wife. She too died from what looks to have been strychnine poisoning. Detective Dinsa has no trouble buying strychnine locally.
Dime-sized, brown-colored, the raw form, very poisonous. And they cost roughly about 25 cents Canadian, enough to kill a community.
The Indian leg of the investigation is over. Police return home convinced Dylan is a killer. But just because he can be connected to suspicious deaths in India doesn't mean he can be arrested for his business partner's murder in Canada. The day after their return, investigators get a call from Jasminder. Amrick's widow tells Detective Coral that after a violent argument with her in-laws, she has fled their house for the safety of a women's shelter. She's upset. She had to leave her son behind. Jasminder says she's ready to talk to police about what happened the night of Amrick's murder.
She was now coming forward to tell us the truth.
Police know what Jasminder has to say could break the case wide open. A young widow is prepared to tell police what happened the night of her husband's murder. Jasminder says after the celebration, Amrick came to bed. He then told Jasminder a secret. Dylan had given him a special pill to help him perform better in bed. Shortly after they had sex, Amrick went into convulsions and died. Jasminder says she told Amrick's family about the pill. But because of the insurance money Dylan has promised them, they're keeping quiet. Jasminder says she tried to confront Dylan herself, but he denied her accusations. Can police trust her? They come up with a plan that will enable her to get her son back, and then to hear for themselves what the family has to say.
We got an East Indian speaking officer who actually doesn't look East Indian. We told him that he was to assist the Children's Aid Society in assisting the victim to retrieve some belongings and her child from the victim's home. We told him to listen to what the conversation was in the house. He was not to say anything that would suggest that he was East Indian, that he understood what was being said. We learned the victim's wife had been told that you will not cooperate with the police, you will not do anything that would allow us not to get that money.
The family threatened to tell police it was Jasminder, not Dylan, who gave Amrick the poison pill.
We believe we had a pretty compelling case.
After a year-long investigation, police arrest Dylan for Amrick's murder. The police are convinced Dylan killed his first wife as well, but they need proof. Coral asks for a second test for strychnine to be done on Dylan's wife's tissue. Dr. Joel Mayer, toxicologist at the Center for Forensic Sciences, examines the tissue samples. Since the first tests were done, new technologies have been developed.
The samples went through their final preparation stage. The results of the analysis clearly showed that strychnine was present in the tissue blocks obtained from the deceased wife.
Police now know how Sukhwinder Singh Dhillon committed the murders. First, he brought strychnine tablets back from India. He then used a mortar and pestle to grind them into powder. He put the poison into gelatin capsules, which he then deceived his victims into taking.
And the worst thing about it is strychnine is such a terrible death. It's a death that nobody should die.
Detectives met the killer within the first 72 hours of their investigation, but it took them a year to collect enough evidence to arrest him. Dylan murdered his wife in Canada for the insurance money. Police believe he murdered his wives in India for their dowries. He then returned to Canada to look for his next victim.
He'd gotten away with the death of his wife. He figured that I got insurance money from my wife's death, so I'm going to take an insurance policy out on my business partner.
Had it not been for the long memory of an insurance agent, police believe Dylan might have kept on getting away with murder. The night Amrik died, there was another hitch in Dylan's plan. He never expected Amrik to live long enough to tell his wife about the pill. Dylan had no choice but to promise the family the insurance money. He had to deflect suspicion away from himself.
Because of the promises that Dylan had made, the family chose to keep that wall of silence up, thinking that we've lost our son anyhow. We might as well look after who's now living.
In the end, the family's plan also came up short. The police investigation into Amrik's murder revealed Dylan had lied to the insurance company. He and Amrik were not blood relatives. They weren't legal business partners either. The insurance policy was deemed invalid. Amrik's parents and grandparents, who had hidden the truth about Dylan, were left with nothing. Jasminder has been shunned by Amrik's family. She now lives alone with her son.
Actually, she's a true hero in this investigation. She came forward, did the right thing.
Sukhwinder Singh Dhillon was convicted of the murders of Amrik Singh Gadwar and Rupinder Kaur Dhillon, his first wife. He is serving two life sentences in a federal penitentiary.
The stories on 72 Hours are true. The detectives and forensic scientists are the ones who actually worked on the case.